At dusk, Jonathan stared at his wife's phone. Her lover's name glowed on the screen. She'd been cheating. In that instant, his heart shattered. But he didn't explode. Instead, he smiled tightly and whispered, "I forgive you." She relaxed. She believed him. But behind closed doors, Jonathan was plotting. He learned gaslighting, mind games, ruinous sabotage. Just like documented in real abuse tactics and revenge schemes. He would destroy her career and manipulate her into doubting her own memory. Then he'd seduce her best friend to help. By the time she realized his plan, she'd be alone, trapped in a web he built. This is not just revenge. It's a laboratory of the mind. Each move is precise, each word calculated. And just when she thinks she's free, he'll strike again. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Calm Before the Storm. It was a Thursday morning. The sun was barely up, casting a golden haze over the suburban cul-de-sac where Jonathan and Claire Whitmore lived. Their home, white siding, stone trim, manicured lawn, looked like something out of a brochure. Safe, quiet, perfect. Jonathan stirred the oatmeal in the pot, humming softly. His hands moved slowly, precisely. Behind him, Claire padded down the stairs in a silk robe, tying it loosely at the waist. "Smells good," she said, smiling. "Is that cinnamon?" Jonathan turned, smiling warmly. "Just like you like it." She kissed his cheek. "You're too good to me." He smiled, but it didn't reach his eyes. Claire sat at the kitchen island, scrolling her phone. Jonathan slid her bowl across the counter and watched her from behind the steam. Her fingers moved fast, texting, deleting, checking again. A name popped up on the screen. Eli, just Eli. No heart, no emoji. But Jonathan knew. She tilted the phone slightly away from him, a reflex that gave her away more than anything. He said nothing. "You working from home today?" she asked, chewing thoughtfully. "I've got a few virtual meetings. Then I'll head to the office after lunch," he replied. "You?" She nodded. "Big campaign prep. Should be late." Jonathan's lips twitched. "From inside the house?" she asked. The voice on the other end was confident. "If they cloned your device or set up a mirrored login, yes. Have you noticed edits or emails being sent without your action?" "Yes. Constantly." "Then you're not imagining it. Check your devices for remote desktop apps, anything that mirrors or captures keystrokes. And watch for physical access points too. USB sticks, cloned drives." Claire stared at Jonathan's office across the hall. "Thanks," she whispered. Later that night, Jonathan returned home just after 10. Claire was curled on the couch in sweats, watching an old episode of The Crown. She muted the volume and smiled. "Long night?" "Ran into an old client," he replied. "Talked business." He walked over and kissed her on the head. "You look cozy." "Trying to stay sane," he laughed lightly. "That bad?" She nodded. "I think I'm going to schedule a therapy session. Maybe talk to someone." He paused. "That's actually a great idea." Claire didn't miss the flicker of satisfaction in his voice. 2 days later, Sophia delivered the recorder. They played the file in Claire's car, parked in an underground garage. Jonathan's voice came through, calm, calculating, deliberate. "You take away their footing, emails, memory, credibility." Claire's hands gripped the steering wheel. He admitted it. Sophia was pale. "What do we do with this?" Claire didn't answer at first. She was thinking, calculating. Finally, she said, we need more. He has backup plans, always. If we strike too soon, he'll spin it. We have to break his system from both ends. Sophia frowned. What do you mean? Claire turned. We take his anchors, control, credibility, comfort, all of it. Step one, undermine his safety net. Jonathan prided himself on discretion. His emails were clean, his digital trail meticulous. But Claire had access now. She began collecting data quietly. Bank records, emails to fake addresses, notes he'd left open on devices. She noticed a secret folder hidden in his cloud storage labeled Insurance. Inside, edited screenshots of her angry messages, a draft of a legal statement accusing her of emotional instability, and a fake journal written in her voice. She downloaded everything. Step two, sabotage his control. Claire began setting traps. She left a note on the kitchen counter that read, therapist appointment, 1 p.m. Thursday. Don't forget voice memo idea. She never made that appointment. But later that day, she discovered the voice recorder in her purse was missing and placed in her coat pocket instead. He was still monitoring her, which meant the bait was working. Step three, turn the best friend into the weapon. Sophia invited Jonathan to her apartment under the guise of needing advice. Claire's getting worse, she told him. She's breaking down. Jonathan showed up with wine and that same smug smile. Sophia pretended to be drunk. Let him pour the drinks, let him talk. He rambled for over an hour, mocking Claire, referencing his exit strategy, and most damningly saying, I'm not trying to ruin her. I just want her broken enough to stay. Sophia's face remained neutral. But her phone was on the shelf behind him, recording everything. Step four. Cut off his lies, Claire made an anonymous report to HR, using her husband's own fake email account. In it, she included a screen capture of a message Jonathan had planted, implicating her in internal sabotage. Then she included another image. Proof it was sent from their home IP address during a time she was at the office, confirmed by her badge scan. It was subtle. Not enough to get him fired, but enough to sow doubt in the right people. Step five. Pull the thread, Claire sat down with Jonathan that evening, wearing a warm smile. I've been thinking, she said. Maybe we should take a break. Jonathan blinked. What? Just some space. Time to clear our heads. No fights, just air. He looked stunned and softened. I don't want space. I want us to work. She leaned forward, touched his hand. Then prove it. He stared at her. Claire smiled. Inside, she was setting the last piece in place. Chapter 5. Pieces fall apart. Jonathan always thought he was 10 steps ahead. He was wrong. For weeks, he'd orchestrated the perfect psychological trap, quietly controlling Claire's life while playing the devoted husband in public. But now, something had shifted. Subtle things. The way she looked at him. The way her phone was always face down. The smile that held too long. She was watching him now. He could feel it. At work, Claire sat across from her HR director, Valerie. Her voice was calm, her expression firm. I'd like to formally request a cybersecurity audit on my company profile, she said. Valerie blinked. You think you've been hacked? Claire slid a manila envelope across the desk. Inside, screenshots of deleted files, timestamps from her work account, logs of remote logins, and proof they came from an IP address that matched her home Wi-Fi. I believe someone's been using my credentials to manipulate project data, she said. I've kept quiet, but I won't anymore. Valerie looked over the evidence, then leaned back slowly. We'll begin immediately. Meanwhile, Jonathan received a call from his assistant. It wants to speak to you about some strange access issues related to Claire's credentials. He kept his voice level. I'll come by in 20. But inside he felt it. Pressure. Something was unraveling. That evening Claire waited at the kitchen counter, sipping tea. Jonathan walked in, trying to act normal. Long day. You could say that, Claire replied. He kissed her cheek. Everything okay? She smiled faintly. Just a lot going on. Jonathan noticed the laptop open on the counter. Her inbox. No password prompt. He tried to casually peek. Claire closed it before he could see. He forced a smile. Want to go out this weekend? Just us? Claire nodded. Sure. Let's enjoy ourselves while we still can. Across town, Sophia was at her desk, exporting audio files from her phone to her desktop. She labeled each clip meticulously. Jonathan Confession 1, Gaslighting Tactics. Jonathan Confession 2, Emotional Breakdown Plan. Jonathan Confession 3, Exit Strategy. She attached the files to a password-protected folder. Then she wrote a single line in the body of the email. If anything happens to Claire or me, send this to the police. She sent it to 3 people, just in case. The next morning, Claire found the burner phone Jonathan had hidden behind a box of tax records in the garage. She didn't confront him. She copied the messages. Eli was in there. Jonathan had been impersonating a concerned friend and messaging Eli anonymously. Subtle threats, warnings, even one message saying, "She'll ruin your life. Cut her off or I will." Claire's hands shook. That's why Eli had stopped responding. Jonathan hadn't just manipulated her. He'd cut her off from anyone who knew the truth. She opened a new note in her phone. Final evidence stack. And started listing every piece. The dinner party that weekend. Jonathan insisted on hosting a small dinner party. Just 6 guests. Work of friends. A couple of Claire's colleagues. Sophia. Claire knew why. Control. Appearances. Reassure everyone he was still the good guy. Claire played her role to perfection. She laughed, toasted, even wore the pearl earrings he loved. But as the night wore on, Jonathan noticed the conversation shifting. Sophia, for example, asked, "So, Jonathan, what's your take on digital surveillance in relationships?" He blinked. Not a fan. One of Claire's co-workers added, "Yeah, there was this podcast I listened to. Guy manipulated his wife's entire reality. Emails, phone, everything. Scary stuff." Claire raised an eyebrow. "Sounds familiar." Everyone laughed, except Jonathan. He smiled thinly. "Wild stories." Claire looked him dead in the eye. "Wild. But not impossible." After the guests left, Jonathan poured himself a drink in the kitchen. Claire stood in the doorway. "You're slipping," she said quietly. He turned slowly. "What? You used to be so careful. Now you're fumbling." He studied her face. "What are you talking about?" Claire stepped forward. "Eli knows. Sophia knows. HR knows." She paused. "And I know." Jonathan's eyes narrowed. "You have no proof." "I have recordings," she said, her voice sharp. "I have your cloud backups, your fake emails, your spyware folder, your burner phone." Silence. Claire's voice dropped. "You didn't just gaslight me. You tried to erase me." He took a slow step toward her. "You don't want to play this game with me." She didn't flinch. "You already lost." That night, Claire didn't sleep. She waited until Jonathan's breathing slowed. Then slipped out of bed, grabbed the pre-packed duffel from her closet, and left. She didn't go far, just to Sophia's. She sent the final backup of files to a secure drive, scheduled delivery to 3 journalists, contacted a lawyer, and then she wrote Jonathan a note. "I loved you once. Now I fear you, and that's not love. That's survival. You taught me the rules of your game. Now I'm playing by mine. Chapter 6. Edge of the Abyss. Jonathan woke to silence. No smell of coffee. No rustle of Claire in the bathroom. Just the hum of the air purifier and the faint echo of emptiness. He sat up slowly, calling out, "Claire?" Nothing. He reached for his phone and checked the time. 7:12 a.m. Then his stomach dropped. Claire's closet was open, half the clothes gone, the top drawer of the dresser, empty, jewelry box missing. So was her laptop, the fireproof document case, and the keys to her car. He sprang out of bed and rushed to the garage. Her car was gone. At Sophia's apartment, Claire sat on the couch, bleary-eyed but calm. Sophia handed her a glass of orange juice. "You slept a little." Claire nodded. "First real sleep in weeks." She glanced at her phone. There were 10 missed calls from Jonathan, 3 voicemails, 2 texts. "Claire, where are you?" "We need to talk. This isn't the way." "You're making a mistake." Claire deleted them all. She opened her encrypted drive, double-checked the legal documents. She'd contacted a friend who was a family attorney. They were filing for a protective order first thing Monday. Claire wasn't running anymore. She was preparing. Jonathan's mind unravels. He called Sophia. No answer. He texted her, "You know where she is, don't you?" Still no reply. He drove around for hours. Called Claire's family. Her mother hadn't heard from her. Her brother hung up on him. He sat in his car, gripping the wheel hard enough to make his knuckles whiten. This wasn't supposed to happen. He was the one who controlled the narrative, who moved the pieces, who stayed 10 steps ahead. But now the board was flipped, and he had no idea what Claire had planned. Claire's preparation. At Sophia's, Claire prepared her final moves. She uploaded every piece of digital evidence, audio recording, screenshots, message threads, to a secure Google Drive labeled, "Release if anything happens to me." She gave Sophia and her lawyer the passwords. Then she recorded a video. She sat in front of the camera in a gray hoodie, no makeup, her hair pulled back. "My name is Claire Whitmore," she began. "This is my story, in my own words. If you're watching this, I need you to know, everything I say is the truth. I've been manipulated, gaslit, and psychologically isolated by my husband, Jonathan Whitmore." She spoke clearly, calmly, not as a victim, but as a woman reclaiming her life. Jonathan makes a move. By that evening, Jonathan had stopped calling. Instead, he showed up unannounced at Sophia's building. He buzzed her apartment from the call box. No answer. He buzzed again, then a third time. Eventually, Sophia picked up, voice flat. "She doesn't want to see you." "Put her on." "No." "You're interfering in a marriage," he said. "That's illegal." There was a pause. Then, "So is talking, Jonathan. Go home." The next morning, Claire stood before the courthouse. She held a folder of printed documents. Sophia stood beside her. They walked into the family division office and filed for a protective order, a formal cease and desist for digital harassment, a legal separation petition. She left the courthouse with a stamped file, a case number, and her attorney's card. For the first time in months, she could breathe. Jonathan's response that night. He sent one final email. It wasn't angry. It wasn't pleading. It was cold. "Claire, I never hurt you. I only gave you structure. If you want to walk away from that, fine. But know this. Truth is subjective. I can be very convincing too. Goodbye." Claire read it once, then dragged it to the trash. The interview request. 3 days later, Claire received an email from a reporter at a national podcast known for covering psychological abuse cases. The journalist had received the leaked folder from an anonymous source. Sophia had sent it after Claire's final video. "Claire," the message read, "we'd like to give you the chance to tell your story." Claire didn't answer right away. She stared at the screen. Then she typed back, "Let's talk." Jonathan's collapse. Jonathan's reputation began to crumble. Whispers in the office. The IT department flagged suspicious remote logins from his account. HR re-reviewed Claire's complaint, now supported by additional evidence. Sophia submitted her recordings as part of an ethics review panel. And then came the podcast. Jonathan wasn't named directly, but the story was unmistakable. Listeners began putting the pieces together. Friends stopped calling. Colleagues distanced themselves. His mask slipped. And behind it was a man with no narrative left to control. Claire's final step. Claire returned to the house, alone, in daylight, with two officers accompanying her. She packed the last of her things. Photographs, journals, the old vase her grandmother gave her. Nothing of monetary value, just the pieces of herself she wanted to keep. She didn't leave a note. She didn't need to. As she closed the front door for the last time, she whispered, "Game over." Chapter 7. The Final Move. Jonathan sat alone in his office, staring blankly at the laptop screen. Outside, rain lashed against the window, blurring the city lights into smudges of color. Everything he'd built was crumbling. His phone lay silent beside him. No calls, no texts. The isolation was suffocating. Claire's absence felt like a ghostly echo in every corner of the house, in every quiet moment. He hadn't anticipated this. He hadn't planned for her to fight back, let alone win. But Jonathan wasn't defeated yet. He still had one final play. The charity gala. Two nights later, the city's annual charity gala filled the Grand Rose Ballroom downtown. Tuxedos, gowns, shimmering jewelry. Every influential face in the city would be there, including Jonathan's company partners and top clients. Jonathan had debated attending, but he couldn't show weakness, not publicly. He straightened his tie, adjusted his cuffs, and stepped into the glittering lights with a confident smile. He was still Jonathan Whitmore. He still had his charm, and perhaps one last card to play. Across the room, Claire stood with Sophia near a marble pillar, unnoticed at first. She wore a sleek black gown, hair up, subtle makeup, strong and poised, eyes clear. She debated attending too, but tonight was necessary. Closure wasn't a luxury, it was a requirement. "You sure about this?" Sophia whispered. Claire nodded. "It's the only way." Sophia squeezed her hand. "I'm with you." Claire exhaled softly, then stepped forward into the crowded ballroom. Jonathan spotted her instantly. His heart skipped, and he hated himself for it. Even now she affected him. He walked calmly toward her, a rehearsed smile on his lips. "Claire," he said, voice warm. "Surprised to see you." Claire looked at him steadily. "You shouldn't be." He tilted his head, amused. "Planning something dramatic?" "Just here for the truth," she replied evenly. "That's dramatic enough." Jonathan leaned closer. "You won't win." She didn't blink. "I already have." He smiled tightly. "Careful. You have more to lose." Claire held his gaze, "and you have nothing left." She turned away, leaving him standing in silence. As dinner ended, the host took the stage to begin the evening's main event, a video presentation celebrating the charity's biggest donors. But when the lights dimmed and the screen flickered to life, the expected footage didn't appear. Instead, Jonathan's face filled the giant screen. His voice echoed through the ballroom speakers. You take away their footing, emails, memory, credibility. It's easy. They think it's their own fault. Claire's proud. Her weakness is pride. Gasps rippled through the room. Jonathan froze. The recording continued. I'm not trying to ruin her. I just want her broken enough to stay. Jonathan's eyes widened in horror. The room's attention fixed on him, whispers rising sharply. He turned frantically, eyes locking on Claire. She stood calm, composed. Sophia beside her, resolute. You did this, he hissed, moving toward Claire. Claire didn't move. No, Jonathan, you did. Security guards stepped between them. A gala organizer spoke quietly. Mr. Whitmore, please leave. He scanned the faces in the crowd. His colleagues turned away. Clients shook their heads. Friends avoided his eyes. He stumbled toward the exit, humiliation burning his throat. Outside, the rain fell harder. Jonathan stood alone on the sidewalk, rain soaking through his tuxedo jacket. He pulled out his phone, hands trembling, mind racing. No messages, no lifelines, just silence. Everything he'd controlled. Claire, Sophia, his company, his public image, gone. He'd lost everything, not to brute force, but to the simple truth of his own words. Behind him, a voice called softly through the downpour. Jonathan. He turned. Claire stood just inside the awning, protected from the rain, her face serene. What now? He spat bitterly. Claire stepped forward, her voice firm but not unkind. Now, you live with who you've become. Jonathan stared at her, suddenly small, suddenly very tired. It was never supposed to end like this. Claire nodded slowly. You were right. Truth is subjective, but consequences aren't. She turned away, slipping back inside, leaving Jonathan standing alone beneath the storm. Months later, Claire settled into her new life. She'd moved into a small, bright apartment downtown. Therapy helped untangle her memories, rebuild her confidence. Her professional reputation had recovered. Her employer issuing a public apology and promoting her to director of creative strategy. Sophia remained close, their friendship slowly healing. Stronger for surviving the storm, Claire found herself smiling more, trusting again, cautiously, with strength she never knew she had. One afternoon, as rain tapped gently at her window, Claire sat at her desk and typed the final line of an article titled, My Story, Surviving Psychological Abuse. She paused, rereading her last sentence. Control thrives in silence. Healing begins when we speak. She smiled, then clicked submit. Jonathan's new reality. Jonathan's life had narrowed dramatically. He rented a small studio apartment, worked freelance, quietly, anonymously. Friends faded away. Colleagues moved on without him. In the evening, he scrolled his phone, alone in silence. Claire's article appeared at the top of his news feed. His thumb hovered briefly over the headline. Then he clicked it closed, unread. He stood and walked to the window, looking out at the city that once belonged to him, now indifferent and distant. He had lost everything. Claire's peace that night. Claire slept deeply. No fear, no anxiety, only the quiet certainty of having reclaimed herself from the darkness. She dreamed vividly. She stood in the center of a quiet room, bathed in soft golden sunlight. There was no danger, no manipulation, only freedom. When she woke, she smiled, calm, unburdened. Finally, fully herself, kept his tone steady. Need me to wait up? Claire shook her head, a little too quickly. No, no. Go to bed if I'm not back by midnight. He smiled again, sweeter this time. Sure. Midnight. She didn't notice the way he said it, like a man clocking her lies in slow motion. That night, after she left. Jonathan opened the drawer by the fridge and pulled out her spare phone. She didn't know he cloned it a month ago. After the first whisper of suspicion, became a certainty. He tapped through the messages. Eli was charming, clever. A gym trainer, younger. He called her Angel. Jonathan read each word like scripture. Every joke, every photo, every confession. It didn't break his heart anymore. It stoked something else entirely. He wasn't going to leave. That would be too easy. He would forgive. Slowly. Carefully. Strategically. She had built this world. His wife. His home. His marriage. And now he would burn it down brick by brick without ever lighting a match. 2 weeks later, Claire twirled in the mirror, wearing a sleek black dress. "Do I look okay?" she asked. Jonathan looked up from his book. "Stunning." She smiled, walked over, and kissed him. "Dinner with the team. Big prep for the presentation next week?" "Right," he said. "The launch for... what was it again?" She hesitated. "The Axiom account. Fashion tech." Jonathan nodded. "Of course, you've been working hard on that." She grinned. "Wish me luck." He rose and kissed her forehead. "Break a leg." As soon as she left, he walked into her home office, opened her laptop, and typed in the password. Her emails were already open. He forwarded a draft of her pitch deck to an anonymous Gmail he'd created. Then, with practiced ease, he logged into the company's client database and deleted one critical file. One that would make her appear careless the next morning in front of a dozen executives. He didn't just want her to suffer. He wanted her to need him again. That night, she returned home, visibly shaken. "The system glitched," she said breathlessly. "My files were gone. Everything vanished during the presentation." Jonathan stood, pretending concern. "What? Are you okay?" She slumped onto the couch. "It was humiliating. I swear I had everything ready. And the worst part? Sarah, my intern, had a backup. But she didn't say anything. Just sat there." He wrapped an arm around her. "You're under a lot of pressure, Claire. Maybe slow down a little." Her head rested on his shoulder. "Maybe. Maybe I just need to clear my head." He kissed the top of her head. "I'm here, always." And she believed him. 3 days later, Jonathan called Sophia, Claire's best friend. They hadn't spoken in months, not directly anyway. But now he had a reason. "Sophia," he said, voice warm. "Hey, it's Jonathan." There was a pause on the other end. "Hey, is everything okay? I was hoping we could talk, just a coffee. Claire's been struggling, and I thought maybe you'd notice it too." Sophia hesitated. "She hasn't said anything to me." Jonathan let the silence linger. "That's part of the problem." They met the next morning. Sophia was wary at first, but Jonathan played the concerned husband flawlessly. "I think something's off," he said. "She's withdrawn. Forgetful. Sometimes even paranoid." Sophia frowned. "She's been avoiding me." "Exactly. I thought maybe if you reached out as her best friend." Sophia nodded slowly. "Yeah, I'll try." Jonathan paid for her coffee, smiling. She didn't know she was now a pawn. That night, Claire came home late. Jonathan was already in bed, reading. She slipped off her heels and whispered, "You awake?" "Mm-hmm." She sat beside him. "Sorry I've been distant, just stress." He closed the book. "We'll get through it. Together." She smiled and reached for his hand. "Thanks for not giving up on me." He kissed her gently. She fell asleep in his arms. He stared at the ceiling, wide awake, as his plan moved into its next phase. Chapter 2. Seeds of doubt, Claire stood by the window. her coffee untouched. She'd overslept, again. Her alarm had gone off. She was sure of it. But now it was 9:47 a.m., and her team had been waiting on a scheduled 9 a.m. Zoom meeting she herself had called. She rubbed her eyes, still in her robe. Something felt off lately. Her head was foggy. She forgot simple things, calls, passwords, meeting links. The calendar on her phone kept deleting reminders, or maybe she was just forgetting to save them. From behind her, Jonathan spoke softly. "Rough morning?" She turned, startled. "Yeah, I don't know what's going on." He walked toward her and gently placed a hand on her shoulder. "You've been working hard. Maybe too hard." Claire nodded, but in the back of her mind, unease bubbled. She never overslept. She picked up her phone. 24 missed notifications. None of them were from Eli. Later that afternoon, at her downtown office, Claire sat across from her manager, Valeria. The office was quiet, her voice unusually cold. "I need to ask," Valeria said, folding her hands. "Did you email the client about canceling the meeting today?" Claire blinked. "What? No. What meeting?" Valeria leaned in and tapped her laptop. "At 7:13 a.m., from your work account, you sent a message to the Axiom lead saying you'd like to reschedule indefinitely." Claire's stomach dropped. "I didn't send that. I was still asleep at 7:13. Valeria raised an eyebrow. "Do you leave your laptop open at home?" Claire hesitated. "Sometimes." "We've changed your password," Valeria said coolly. "But this isn't the first incident. Files going missing, delayed responses, unexplained edits." Claire opened her mouth to defend herself, and then closed it. What could she say? Valeria softened. "Look, Claire, I've seen your work. You're one of the best strategists we have. But something's not right. Whatever's going on, fix it before it gets worse." That night, she sat on the edge of the bed, hands trembling. "I think someone's messing with my work," she whispered. Jonathan looked up from his laptop. "Like who?" "I don't know. Maybe someone in the office. Or maybe..." She trailed off. "Maybe I'm just losing it." He reached over and squeezed her hand. "You're not crazy." Her eyes welled up. "Then why does it feel like I'm disappearing from my own life?" Jonathan pulled her close. "Because you're overwhelmed. But I'm here. We'll get through this." And again, she believed him. Later that week, Jonathan sat with Sophia at an upscale wine bar. Their meetings had become regular: coffee, lunch, now drinks. He kept it light, empathetic, caring, never too familiar. Tonight, though, he pushed further. "She stopped talking to me," he said, eyes glassy. "I think she's seeing someone." Sophia hesitated. "She mentioned a guy from her gym once, but I thought it was over." Jonathan's jaw tightened. "He's still around." Sophia stared at her drink. "You know," Jonathan said slowly, "I used to think it was me, that I wasn't enough. But now, I think she's punishing me." Sophia looked at him, her voice soft. "Why would she do that?" He leaned closer. "I don't know, but it hurts." Their eyes locked for just a moment too long. At home, Claire stared at her laptop. She opened her sent folder. There it was. The email she supposedly sent at 7:13 a.m. It was her email. It was her tone. But she didn't write it. She clicked over to the trash folder. Dozens of deleted calendar invites. Auto-deleted reminders. Her notes, gone. She looked over at Jonathan, who was watching TV. "I think I need a new laptop," she said. He didn't look away from the screen. "Yeah? Mine's acting weird, deleting stuff." He muted the show and turned toward her. Maybe it's a virus. Want me to take a look? Her stomach twisted. No, it's fine. Something in her voice made Jonathan glance up. For just a second, their eyes met. And Claire saw something. Amusement. No, that wasn't right. The next morning, Jonathan sent an anonymous email to Claire's HR director. The subject line read, "Concerned coworker, potential substance abuse?" The message was vague, supportive, and perfectly worded. "I don't want to get Claire in trouble, but I've noticed some erratic behavior, missed meetings, slurred speech on Zoom, strange mood swings. I care about her and hope she gets help before something serious happens." He hit send, smiled, and closed the laptop. Meanwhile, Claire met Sophia for lunch. Sophia seemed distant, guarded. Claire sensed it immediately. "You okay?" she asked. Sophia shrugged. "Are you?" Claire blinked. "What do you mean?" Sophia leaned in. "Look, I'm your best friend. But lately, it feels like you're spiraling." Claire's heart pounded. "What are you talking about?" "Jonathan said you've been paranoid, distracted. He's worried about you." Claire sat back, stunned. "He told you that?" Sophia nodded. "He's been really supportive, honestly. I think he's trying his best." Claire couldn't believe what she was hearing. "He has you thinking I'm crazy now?" she whispered. Sophia frowned. "Claire, no one thinks you're crazy. But you're not acting like yourself." Claire stood up. "I have to go." That night, Claire watched Jonathan sleep. Her thoughts spiraled. Was he the one sending emails? Did he turn Sophia against her? Why did everything feel orchestrated? She opened his phone. It was locked. But earlier that week, she had watched him enter a number, 0827, their anniversary. She entered it, unlocked. She scrolled through his messages. Nothing. She tapped into his hidden folder and froze. Inside were screenshots, her emails, her texts, photos of her with Eli, audio clips, a voice memo of her arguing with a coworker, a list labeled "Triggers, use sparingly." Her breath caught. She had no words. She put the phone back, sat still for 10 minutes, then climbed into bed beside him. Jonathan stirred and mumbled, "You okay?" She whispered, "Yeah, just tired." She stared at the ceiling all night, wondering how long it had been since she lost control of her life. Chapter 3. Betrayal of Friendship. Claire had always trusted Sophia. They had been best friends since college, roommates, travel partners, each other's emergency contacts. Sophia had been Claire's maid of honor. They used to call each other forever backup plans. If love failed, they'd grow old together with cats and sarcasm. But now, as Claire sat alone at the corner booth of Cafe Loma, nursing a coffee that had long gone cold, all she could think about was betrayal. Sophia was 20 minutes late, and for the first time in years, Claire wasn't sure she wanted her to show up. 1 week earlier, Jonathan and Sophia met again, this time in a boutique hotel bar. He made sure to pick a place Claire would never go. It was elegant, candlelit, just upscale enough to feel intentional. Sophia was wearing soft makeup and a navy blue sweater. Jonathan noticed she'd put more effort in. That was a good sign. "I almost didn't come," she said, sitting down across from him. "I'm glad you did," Jonathan replied gently. "I've been going crazy." He leaned in, voice low. "Claire's spiraling. Her boss called the house yesterday asking if she was okay. I didn't know what to say." Sophia looked down. "She's been snapping at everyone. I offered to help her with a project, and she practically bit my head off." Jonathan sighed and swirled the wine in his glass. "I just want her to be okay," I want us all to be okay, but I don't know how to reach her anymore. Sophia reached across the ER table and placed her hand over his. It lingered. Claire scrolled through her phone in bed that night, waiting for Jonathan to return from late-night errands. She didn't believe him anymore. Since discovering the hidden folder in his phone, her world had shifted. She was careful now. No accusations, no direct confrontations. She knew what gaslighting looked like. She had read the survivor forums. Some victims left, some fought back, others just disappeared inside themselves. Claire didn't plan to disappear, but she also didn't plan to act too soon. She needed evidence, proof, strategy. So she smiled when Jonathan returned, pretended to be distant but tired. When he kissed her forehead, she kissed him back. Inside, she was cold and calculating, just like him. 3 days later, Sophia texted her, "Hey, want to grab coffee Thursday?" Claire stared at it. After a long pause, she replied, "Sure, Loma at noon." And now, on Thursday, she waited. Cafe Loma buzzed with its usual crowd of laptops and lattes. Claire sat in the far corner, eyes darting to the door each time it opened. Finally, Sophia walked in, alone, phone in hand, sunglasses on. Claire raised her hand slightly. Sophia spotted her and offered a brief wave before walking over. They hugged awkwardly. Sat. Sophia spoke first. "You okay?" Claire's lips twitched. "I could ask you the same." Sophia looked down. "I've been worried about you." "Funny," Claire said softly. "I've been wondering who's really on my side." Sophia flinched. "What's that supposed to mean?" Claire leaned in. "I know you've been meeting with Jonathan." Sophia's expression shifted. "Claire, don't lie." Sophia went quiet. Claire tilted her head. "Did he tell you I was unstable? Slipping? Maybe he told you I needed help, or that I was paranoid, or that I was cheating on him?" Sophia hesitated. "That's what I thought," Claire whispered. "You know what he is, Soph. You're smarter than this." Sophia looked away. "He didn't force me. I wanted to help." "Help him?" Claire snapped. "I didn't know what to believe," Sophia said, her voice rising. "You've been shutting everyone out. You barely talk to me anymore." "Because I'm being watched," Claire hissed. "Because every time I open my mouth, it gets twisted." A beat of silence. Sophia swallowed. "He said you cheated." Claire looked her dead in the eye. "I did, once, and I regret it. But what he's doing now, he's dismantling me, slowly, methodically. You've seen the signs. Don't tell me you haven't." Sophia looked shaken. Claire continued. "He wants to isolate me, make me doubt myself, use you to triangulate and control, and you walked right into it." Later that night, Jonathan returned home, humming. Claire was in bed, pretending to be asleep. He undressed silently, slid under the covers, and lay beside her in the dark. Then, after a long pause, he whispered, "Sophia says you seem tense. Everything okay?" Claire didn't move. "Claire?" She let out a soft, sleepy groan. "Never mind," he said, voice honeyed. "We'll talk tomorrow." She rolled away from him and stared at the wall. The next day, Sophia sat on her couch, laptop open. She'd Googled emotional abuse, coercive control, how to tell if your friend is being gaslighted. The words hit harder than she expected. She remembered how Jonathan had once said, "Claire's just not who she used to be." She remembered how he'd complimented her smile, how he'd leaned just a bit too close, how he'd told her, "You're the only person who gets it." And she realized, this wasn't about Claire being unstable. It was about him being deliberate. Sophia closed her laptop and picked up her phone, The call Claire's phone rang just as she was leaving work. Sophia. She hesitated, answered. Hey, I want to talk, but this time, for real. Claire paused. Where? My place. No games. Just truth. Claire said nothing for a moment. Then, give me 20 minutes. At Sophia's apartment, Claire walked in carefully, scanning for signs. Sophia looked nervous. I owe you an apology. You owe me more than that, Claire said. Sophia nodded. He used me. I see that now. Claire stood still. I've kept things from you, Sophia admitted. We didn't just talk. He kissed me. Claire didn't flinch. Just once, Sophia added. But I didn't stop him. I wanted to feel. Wanted. Claire's voice was quiet. He knows exactly what to say. Sophia's eyes welled up. I want to help fix this. If he's doing what you say, I'm in. Claire exhaled, finally. Then here's what we do. She pulled a small black recorder from her coat. Pocket or Jaff? Chapter 4. The Two Front Attack. Claire had never imagined plotting against her own husband. Yet here she was, at her best friend's apartment, outlining a covert plan with the same woman who had once betrayed her. Sophia sat across from her, silent but nodding. The atmosphere was tense, but focused. The guilt in Sophia's eyes was real. And Claire had no time for resentment. Not now. Not when Jonathan was closing in. He thrives on control, Claire said. He's not violent. He doesn't raise his voice. He manipulates. That's harder to prove, but not impossible. Sophia looked pale. What do you need me to do? Claire set the recorder on the table. He trusts you. Still flirts with you. Let him. Let him talk. Record everything. Sophia hesitated. You sure? Claire's voice was steady. I don't want revenge. I want proof. The next evening, Jonathan met Sophia at a quiet restaurant just off 7th Street. It was their usual spot now. Intimate, out of the way, low lighting. Perfect for secrets. He looked relaxed, almost smug. Claire told me you two had a talk, he said casually, sipping his wine. Sophia smiled carefully. She did. Jonathan leaned in. Let me guess. She said I was some evil puppet master? Sophia gave a short laugh. Pretty much, he smirked. She's not wrong about the puppet part. Sophia blinked. What? Jonathan sat back, eyes glinting. You ever watch someone self-destruct so slowly they start thinking it's their own fault? He said it like a joke. But it landed like a threat. Sophia kept her expression neutral. The recorder in her purse was running. He lowered his voice. It's easy, really. You take away their footing, emails, memory, credibility, then step in as the support system. They lean on you while you rearrange their world. Sophia's stomach turned. He continued. Claire's too proud to ask for help. That's her weakness. Pride. He touched her hand. Yours is loyalty. But not to her. To truth. Sophia swallowed hard. I just want what's best for everyone. Jonathan smiled. So do I. Meanwhile, at home, Claire sat at her desk with her phone on speaker. Talking to a digital forensics expert she found online, someone who specialized in covert spyware and remote desktop manipulation. So, you think someone might have accessed my email?